Download complete. Initiate playback. Playback. Enjoy the show.
What's up, everybody? Me Time Gamer here. Welcome to another episode of the Me Time Gamer podcast. Episode number 20? Yeah, number 20. Oh boy, what a week for video game we had this week, guys. Holy smokes, a lot of stuff happened with E3, or for the unfamiliars, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. Sorry, I just got up. So if I sound a little bit more groggy, I'm recording this in the morning because I'm working night for today. It's going to be a bit more slack than usual, I guess. So yeah, today is going to be another special episode. Last week I had my E3 prediction. I won't go over the predictions. I think you guys can listen to see what I got wrong or right. But this episode is going to be more of a roundup. I'm going to do of E3, some of the best stuff I enjoyed from the E3 press conferences. Except for the Nintendo Digital Revolver and PC Gaming. Those are the only one I didn't watch because I have really no interest in watching those, so I'm not going to cover those here. So go check out those press conferences if you want to see more. Probably a lot more people are going to give their opinion on that. I decided to cover the four big ones, the ones I was able to watch and found more entertaining. A bit weird for this year. I feel like everybody had had great shows, but they weren't anything explosive going on. Before we get into the roundup of all the press conferences today, I just want to say if you want to follow the podcast everywhere, you can do so at follow everywhere Me Time Gamer, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, and of course on YouTube. You can also watch the video format of this podcast on youtube.com/MeTimeGamer. What else? If you're watching the video format of the podcast, you can also listen to the podcast everywhere. Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, also Balado Québec, that is a French podcast player. You guys can listen to my podcast there. And that's all the promo I'm going to do for the beginning. So let's jump right into the E3 2017 roundup. All right, so the first roundup we're going to start with is Bethesda. So Bethesda is pretty much one of the first one that happened during the week. So I'm going to start out. I'm going to go in order, but of course I'm going to mention only the stuff I found interesting. Pretty much what I showed you guys in the videos during the on my YouTube page. All the videos that I showed are going to be the ones that are going to be I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to cover anything I wasn't sure. I might mention some of it, but we'll see. So yeah, Bethesda is the first one. Bethesda actually this year was a bit, I think because what happened is, for me personally, is they were so big the last 2 years that this year was actually a bit disappointing for me. It's the one I was, the second one I was waiting for after Sony, and I was a bit disappointed, but they still had somewhat of a good showing. So the first game on the list is Doom VFR, so they're making a sort of a Doom game for VR. Which is fun, like I keep mentioning, when I mention a lot in the videos, it's fun seeing companies going in on VR and at least trying to get the accessory working and not working, but to get the thing up and running and get it successful so more people buy it and stuff like that. And Doom VR is Doom VFR. I don't know what the F there for fear or whatever. Maybe I don't know. I didn't look into it. But yeah, Doom, and of course the next game on the list after that is Fallout 4 VR, which they talked about last year, and they definitely it looks pretty great. Basically the game in VR, so we're definitely, people are going to be enjoying that. Hopefully, I don't have much to say about VR because I don't have one, so it's hard to talk about it. But those games definitely look interesting. One thing I wonder is if they if you already have Fallout 4 on, let's say, on the PS4, maybe it's coming on PS4. I don't know. It might be just an Oculus or a Vive exclusive for now or something like that. I have no clue, but we'll definitely have to check that out. Then the next thing for Bethesda that caught my attention was the Creation Club. Now, the Creation Club, if you don't know what it, if you haven't had a chance to look it out, or check it out, the Creation Club pretty much was a way to, that, modders sort of, it's sort of the way, modders can get involved with Bethesda itself to create new, new and never before seen mods, for, Fallout and Skyrim. And basically it's going to be, it's going to be certified mods that, that will come to consoles, I'm assuming. Cause why would you do this Creation Club for PC when they have unlimited mods and they don't need the input of, Bethesda on that? Yeah, Creation Club's gonna be for Xbox One and PS4, basically. So the community creates mods and then sends it to Creation Club. Now, here's the little fucking, thing I didn't like about it is that we're talking about credits. So, but if you guys remember, Bethesda tried this about a couple years back. I don't remember what year it was, but they tried to implement, paid mods to help the creator of the mods make money, but that went on Steam and then that went down the drain real quick. People were not happy about paying mod, and within a week Bethesda stopped doing that immediately. And now here they're talking about credit. Of course, I read in the internet about they were talking about like what the way you explain it is, like they're trying to say, oh no, it's not credit, but it actually is. It's a bit weird, so look out for that. I'm cautiously optimistic about it, because I do want more content for Fallout 4, that's for sure. But am I willing to pay, like, I don't know, $5 a mod? No, I don't know. Already the selection of mod on the PS4 is pretty sketchy, right? Well, I did a couple of videos on it, the mods on PS4. Wish I would have done more, but they're actually, I couldn't find any more interesting to load up on the PS4. So that's why I stopped making those videos, because I couldn't find any good one. So hopefully the Creation Club will bring more content. It's just we need more information on what this credit system is. Hopefully, if it's paying for mods, then I think you're going to lose the thing. I think they're trying to assume maybe that console player will pay for them, since they don't have really a choice, because they have to go through Bethesda to get the mods. Not, they can't just import mods from the web or stuff like that. Then after that, we got two new announced games from Bethesda. These are the that I found interesting was Evil Within 2. Of course, the first one was pretty great. I only had a chance to play couple hours of it, but I did find it interesting. The only thing for me, I don't know, it got a bit weird after a while. Just not necessarily like scary weird, but more like the whole like not magic stuff, but like supernatural thing going on with the main character. And Evil Within 2 seems like it's going to be more of the same, so we'll have to see definitely what that is. And then after that, we had Wolfenstein 2. So Wolfenstein 2, of course, I played, again, Wolfenstein 1, The New Order. I played about 4 or 5 hours of it. I didn't get a chance to finish it. But the first game was awesome. This seems like a lot more of what we need, shooting Nazis in the face. Why not? It's always a good thing. And yeah, so it seems like in this case, we're seeing what happens in an alternate future if the Nazis took over the U.S., and how like propaganda runs wild and stuff like that, and people are just going day to day with the Nazi being in their present everywhere. So it's definitely going to be something interesting to look at. And yeah, I think that's going to be it for Bethesda. I don't have much more to say. Now we'll just move on to Ubisoft's press conference. Well, that started off pretty not too bad with The Crew 2. I don't know what I feel like the reception of the first game wasn't too big, and I guess it was big enough to get a second one, which this time involves more, and instead of just being cars and I think, was there motorcycles or dirt bikes in the first one? I don't remember. This one also involves both cars. And it seems like the way they were showing off the game, like the first Crew was all across across the U.S. This time, for some reason, it seems like it's all across the world. So we'll have to definitely see that, what it gives out. I didn't enjoy that aspect of the first crew. Yeah, that traveling, like you have to drive to travel across the country to go do different races and different level races and stuff like that. That was pretty interesting. Just some of the racing in the first one felt kind of weird, the handling of the cars and stuff like that. So the next game I have on my list is Transference. That's a VR, well, I'm assuming it's a VR game because they say VR so many times, that little thing with Elijah Wood there. It seemed pretty interesting. I don't know much more about it. It seems like a spooky kind of thing, like a brainwashing type thing. So it's definitely going to seem interesting once we get more information on it and stuff like that. And of course, the next game on the list, we have Skull and Bones, which is it's a pirate, basically, it seems like it takes the ship fighting aspect from Black Flag, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and, makes it even bigger. There's a couple pirate games on the PC itself, but yeah, this seems like a different take. You have multiple ships run. It's basically like it's a PvP. You play. The demo they showed, it's 5v5. You're controlling different type of ships, like ramming ships, tougher ships that can withstand more damage, and all those kind of things. So Skull and Bones does seem interesting. It's a different take on player versus player. There's not a lot of pirate ship games out there, so I guess we can't wait to see. It's something new for consoles, of course. There's Sea of Thieves coming up, but I guess this is like Ubisoft's response to make it more mass market instead of it being stuck on one console. Then, of course, my little baby that I was waiting for from Ubisoft is Far Cry 5. That game looks awesome. It takes a lot. It seems to take a couple aspects from the Wildlands. The way you have to tag and you can tell your gun for hire how to snipe somebody out. It doesn't have the same interface, of course. Thank God, because it's not a military tactic. It's not a tactical shooter. But the game does look very interesting. I like the way you have to the mission. The trailer they showed at the Ubisoft press conference. It looked very, very interesting. Sorry, I'm saying very interesting a lot. It was very cool on the demo. You see like a preacher talking, talking to a sinner in front of him, and there's people like getting knocked out and killed and all that stuff. And you have to go in and kill the guy preaching on the street there, and all his enforcers and stuff like that. So, and you can use your dog, you can use your gun for hire. I can't wait to see how many people you can have with you at once. That's going to be interesting. I don't know if it's one at a time. We'll have to see from there. And of course, that one of the last things I noted from Ubisoft was Beyond Good and Evil 2. A lot of people were waiting for that game. A lot of people were complaining about, because I know some people, they were talking about that they weren't going to be at E3 and stuff like that. And yeah, they were saying they weren't going on E3 this year. They weren't showing anything for this game. And then after that, they were the final PSF resistance of Ubisoft's conference. And a lot of people were giving them shit because they lied to the media. But like, you have to think about it as the developer's standpoint of view, because if you have a big game to announce and you don't want to ruin the surprise just by telling, I can't talk about it right now. So I can't tell if we're going to show or not. So you're sort of ruining it, because people are going to assume that you're going to be there and stuff like that. So I know I'm not explaining it very well, but I feel Ubisoft, the creators of the game, did the right thing. Of course, you want to keep the reveal. Of course, not in every case it's good to lie. Like if you have something hidden down the road and stuff like that. But in this case, you don't want to ruin a press conference and show just because some media wants some extra thing, right? Like it's not the company doesn't owe the media anything. Like I don't find it fair to a game dev that you would go not necessarily harass them, but like give them shit for not telling you have a game coming out. That's not their job at the end of the day. They're there to create a game, and they're there to create hype for their game, so the game becomes popular and stuff like that. So but onto the game Beyond Good and Evil 2. I haven't played the first one, so it's hard for me to explain, but the game did look, the trailer was all CG, but the game did look very interesting. This whole human and animal sort of world live together. The monkey was pretty funny. He had a funny British, I'm pretty sure it's British accent there. It was a very comedic character in the trailer. And yeah, I can't wait to see more. Might be a game that interests me. I might have to go back and play the first one to see if it relates in any way. People do say, I think it's a prequel to the first one, so it might just work out that you don't need to play the first one. And that's it for Ubisoft. I didn't talk about Assassin's Creed. I'm going to talk about it in the Microsoft one, and that's the one we're talking about next. So Microsoft had a this one is a bit bigger. So we had from Microsoft started off with the Xbox One X. That's the name of their Project Scorpio. Seem interesting. Again, they mentioned the fucking most powerful console out there every time over and over and over, and stuff like that. And there was like they were showing a lot of the. Oh, the game's gonna play true 4K, 60 frames per second. But then they only showed Forza playing at 60 frames per second, and all the other game they weren't allowed to. They weren't speculating if it was gonna play any faster than that or not. And yeah, the Xbox One X does seem interesting. It does seem nice. It's the console's a lot smaller than their One S, if I remember correctly. So I know the One S does. The power bars in the console, so I can't wait to see if this one's going to be in the console, because it's a way more powerful console. It actually has like its own design water cooling system or something like that. It's a bit weird. It's not actual like a PC most of the time water cooling section, but lines and stuff like that that cool around the CPU or something like that. This one's not the same. It seems like it's a chip. It's like a small little square chip on top of the motherboard of the CPU to cool it down, so I guess we won't have the red light of death or the red ring of death this time around for this, because it's of course they went talking about their teraflops again. I don't know how really saying that over and over again really impacts, like, oh my god, that's gonna be awesome, I'm gonna buy that right away. I don't know how much that actually influences people thinking of buying it. And it's gonna be a hard sell. Of course, my Xbox is not as far behind Sony on this for the console sale, so it's a bit hard. Hopefully this is going to be their go-to console. They are selling it $500 US, so I'm assuming like $600 Canadian. So that's, for me, that's like even like a big no-no, because $600 for a console, or is it actually worth that extra? Like right now you can get an Xbox One for like $300 or $350, and paying that extra fucking for in Canada, paying that extra $250, $300 for a slight upgrade to maybe sometimes play 4K and maybe get sometimes for 60 frames. Which, honestly, I would say for a big majority of gamers out there, playing a game right now in 4K and 60 frames per second is not always the main goal. The main goal has to be story, has to be the impact of the game, it has to be mechanics first. Graphics, yes, graphics are always nice. But make a game 1080p, 60 frames per second, that's fine. No, not a lot of people, right now, a minimum of people have 4K. I know a minimum of people have 4K monitors or TVs and stuff like that. So it's a bit, I know this is more like future proofing, but you have to assume this is like their middle iteration right before, I guess, the next big main Xbox. And is it really worth the investment? So then after that, in 2-3 years from now, they get out the next generation of Xbox and PS5 or whatever it is. And so we'll have to see what people say once the people get in their hands, coming out in November something. And so the next game on Microsoft, now we get into games with Microsoft. Microsoft actually surprised me with the first game. I think it was the first game they showed was Metro Exodus. So I played a bit of the first game of Metro, and I did really enjoy the atmosphere in that game. It was so fun to play. And then when I saw the trailer for this, I did guess it at the beginning of the trailer, because not a lot of people talked about Metro having a new sequel, unless I didn't hear about it somewhere. But when I saw that trailer did look really cool. That whole underground stuff, then going up to the surface. But this time around, it's weird, because this time around when he goes to the surface, he actually takes his mask off. But in the other games, when you went to the surface, you had to put a mask on. So I don't know what happened there. I don't know if something that resolves in the second one. I haven't had a chance to play the second Metro. But this is a real game that it surprised me. It looked very interesting, so I'm gonna probably have to try to play the first and second one before this one comes out, to see if it seems appealing for me to try out. Then the next on the list was Assassin's Creed Origin, which Ubisoft finally, no surprise to anybody, it leaked so many weeks again. I don't know why Ubisoft has so many problems trying to keep Assassin's Creed or their Assassin's Creed game or any game under wraps right before an announcement or something like that. Every time it happens, and of course this one, the title and some screenshot got out. And yeah, the game does look very interesting. It seems to it's taking us back to Egypt, of course. What else? It seems to improve on the mechanics. Egypt, it's like I was saying in the trailer. Can't wait to see, because the parts of the videos they showed there didn't seem to be a lot of like tall buildings to go, like to climb and stuff like that. So it's a bit. Can't wait to see what the mechanics are going to be doing for that. There's an eagle view type thing like there was in Far Cry Primal going on, which looks pretty fun. I talked a bit more in the video about how it's cool that they're actually, what Ubisoft is doing, what they seem to be doing is taking stuff from their different games they have and implementing them in their other games, making the game a more complete thing at the end of the day. And for Assassin's Creed, so I can't wait to see. Like, Assassin's Creed Syndicate was pretty good. So this is their next iteration. They took about a year and a half, 2 year break on this one. So can't wait to see what they're going to give out. Hopefully they were able to make something great to bring the masses back to Assassin's Creed. And the next game on the list I did write down was from Microsoft. It was PlayerUnknown's Battleground. This seemed pretty interesting. If you guys don't know what it is, definitely it's a PC game right now. It's an early access, if I remember. Basically, it takes place on an island. 100 people drop in. You can play one versus all or 1v1v1 or whatever, and then you can play clear team of two or team of five or whatever. And then after that, you have to kill and be the last team standing, pretty much. And so that seems pretty interesting. And Microsoft announced that it was the word they kept fucking using was getting on my nerve. There was a console launch exclusive. So it's coming to Xbox, of course. I did read in a little bit further that it was coming in to PS4 a bit later after. They just Microsoft has the launch exclusive for it. So yeah, it is coming to PS4. So definitely, if you want to know more information about this game's been out for about 3-4 months now, I think, if I remember correctly. And definitely go check out. It's one of the most popular games on Twitch right now. The concept is fun. It takes the concept from like DayZ, Arma 3, and H1Z1 pretty much improves on it a bit more, I would say, what seems from the streams I've watched. And of course, one of the biggest game I was waiting for on one of the biggest games, sorry, just I wrote more stuff down. Yeah, one of the biggest game I was waiting for from Microsoft was State of Decay 2. They finally showed us that. I don't remember if they showed us they talked about a release date yet. I'm not 100% sure. I think they did, maybe 2018. I don't remember. Yeah, but State of Decay 2. It's the second, of course, after State of Decay. They seem to upgrade a lot of the mechanics in this, to improve, to make it a lot better. It's one of those games I enjoyed the first one when I played it. I finished the first one. It was so fun to play. The concept of having multiple controllable characters with permadeath, like if one of your characters dies, you can't play him anymore, move on to the next character, and so on, keeping the balance of the mood of your characters in your base, fortifying your base and stuff like that, creating like medical bays and all those nice things, and just moving bases to like getting a bigger home base or whatever you want to call it. And that seems very interesting. It seems more of that in this game. Hopefully they can implement it even better, make it an even longer game, an even more fleshed out game. And when you look at the end of the trailer, they show a very gruesome death from one of the big fucking zombies there in the game. Of course, finally, there's a Cuphead was shown next in the Microsoft press conference. Finally, and then it's coming out in September sometime. So finally, it's fun. They finally have a release date. I know a lot of people were giving them shit because it seems like we've seen this for 3 E3s in a row now, and they never released date. They had a problem with the game or something like that, and they stopped talking about it for a while. And next game was Crackdown 3. Now, Crackdown is not a game I ever played, but it seemed very interesting. I like the whole aspect of world, like the full destructible world. I didn't get quite the concept of the trailer, though. It seems like you had Terry Crews at the beginning, which was really hilarious, and The concept of the game looks pretty cool. I can't wait to see more of the game. I really don't know anything about the game, but I, the reason why I left it, I left it in my preview, my roundup trail video of the Microsoft press conference, because it looked interesting. I like the shooting style of it. I like the art style of it. So yeah, and one another game I had on the list was Ashen. It seems like one of those. I tried to explain it on the. On the press conference video, but it reminds me a bit of one of those Unity games. Like the you play two characters. They don't have any face. It seems like a dungeon crawling type game. It got my attention. I don't know what else to say. It's pretty like it seems like a sword and power adventure, a sword and magic adventure sort of thing. So we're definitely gonna have to see more of that. I got two more things on the list from Microsoft. Square Enix finally announced a prequel to Life is Strange called Life is Strange Before the Storm. I think we're going to see more of the aspect what happened before, Max gets her powers or something like that. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm definitely going to be playing that since Life is Strange, the first five episodes are free right now on the PS4. Definitely going to be playing that in the next couple of weeks. And I can't wait. This is coming out in August, if I remember correctly. So definitely going to be checking that out. Of course, we have Shadow of War. So that's going to be fun. That's coming out to all console, of course. But they showed more about how the Nemesis system works. How taking a bait. How the new people, like, how some of the characters in the game, like some of the people you defeat, can survive your attack and come back to hunt you down and stuff like that. That's pretty fun. And how you can recruit some of Shadow of War. So they showed a lot more of that aspect. The game was pushed back until October, so I'm gonna have to see that when it comes out. It seems a lot more of Shadow of Mordor, but this time you're taking over fortresses in the game, and you have it sort of managing your troop before you attack fortresses and stuff. So we'll have to see that when it comes out. And that was it for Microsoft's press conference. That's what held my attention. Then we move on to the final press conference, is Sony's press conference. No, Sony's press conference was a bit like Bethesda's one, where they showed just game. They didn't stop. The first game on the list was, of course, Lost Legacy. That game's coming out this year in November, if I can remember correctly. This is Chloe and Nadine. It's fun because the trailer showed them, like, it seems like more of what we like about Uncharted. It seems that there's a slight upgrade in the graphics. They showed a lot of the game, like how the two characters are going to butt heads in some situations and try to work together in some situation. To try to find what they're looking for. So that's going to be very interesting. Coming out in November, it's more Uncharted, so that's going to be very fun. Then after that, a big surprise to everybody. The guys at Guerrilla Games announced a DLC for Horizon Zero Dawn called The Frozen Wild. So that's going to be fun. It's a new map that we're unlocking, new characters, new robot monsters too. So that's going to be pretty fun. A lot more of what we liked about Horizon. More story aspect to the game. And I'm still playing Horizon right now. I haven't finished it right now. I'm probably going to try to finish it very soon. So in November, when this comes out, it's going to be very fun to play. Then you have Days Gone, the one I was waiting for the most, I would say, in here. There's one more. Days Gone. They showed a lot more of the gameplay this time around. Instead of being all big mass zombie attack coming down on you and you trying to survive, this time it was more like getting away from a pack of wild dogs and then being attacked by marauders. These are actually raiders in Fallout, sort of. They're just assholes trying to survive and trying to get everything they can. So you're trying to defend yourself on them, and then you're out on a mission trying to save one of your buddies from your camp, and it goes from there. So definitely go check out that. They showed actually when they showed at the conference, they actually also in their private demo they showed a different uh, a different alternative way of playing with the same sequence they played. So that was pretty interesting to see. I did watch the video on the PlayStation YouTube page. That was pretty fun. Of course, big surprise also, they showed off Skyrim VR, which they didn't talk about at the Bethesda press conference, which was pretty weird, I found. They didn't reveal, because it is a big reveal. So more Skyrim, you guys. If you guys are not tired of Skyrim, you're gonna get more of it in VR this time. So that's fun to see. That was in the PS for the PS4 Pro, and of course, then we had a sequence of VR games. The VR games that caught my attention the most, Skyrim one. And then we had the Impatient, which seems like you're in an insane asylum or sometime. Then you have to get out or something like that. Which the graphic style seemed amazing. The concept of it looked amazing. So it looks like a very cool experience. Sorry. Have the burps now. I've been talking continuously too long. I need to drink something, but I didn't bring any water with me. Anyway. The Impatient looked very interesting. I don't think it had an announcement date. And then in more VR, you had Bravo Team, from the same team that made Impatient, which seems like a first-person shooter, sort of Call of Duty style game. Another thing that caught my attention. Of course, after that, you had God of War, which gave us more of the actual gameplay, fighting mechanics, and a bit of the story aspect of it. It looked very well done. It looked very interesting. Caught my attention for sure. I've never played the original God of Wars, but this one definitely is going to be a must once it comes out. I don't remember. I think it was also announced only for next year sometime. Of course, another game I've been waiting for impatiently was Detroit Become Human. We finally got more actual gameplay of it. You playing as one of the characters. I think there's 5 different characters you'll play in the game, and this is one of them where you have to liberate some androids from the company, whatever company that makes them. You have to set them free and stuff like that. And it was a lot more of what we enjoyed. It showed like different paths of the game, how you can play like violent, you can play passive. Let's use that one. So it seems the main guy that you saw in that video is actually an actor, and I found that the graphics in the games are so good, and I guess the face tracking is so good, the whatever equipment they're using, that it was easy to recognize which actor it was. It was an actor from the only one I know him from is from Grey's Anatomy, because my wife was watching that show. I remember seeing him in that show. And to round up, I think that's going to be it for Detroit. There's not much more I can see. Definitely all the games I'm talking about, hopefully I'm putting the trailers as I'm talking about them right now, while on the video format at youtube.com/MeTimeGamer. Of course, the last game that Sony talked about was Spider-Man. Now, Spider-Man did not have, I think it was 2018 release date, I'm not sure. They didn't specify anything, but this time around we had a lot of gameplay, a lot of QTEs too. I don't know if it's going to be a big part of the main missions of the games and stuff like that, but I wish they would have shown a bit. The gameplay itself was really fun to look at. It had like a Batman fighting mechanics for look to it. I wish they showed more of like the flying around the city freely, see what that would look like. But I was still impressed by the game. It did look very interesting. And yeah, that's all I had for the press conference for today. All right, so that's it for this episode of the MeTime Gamer podcast, episode number 20. Sorry, today I didn't have time to research any kickstarting it or stuff like that. There's no news. All the news is all about E3 this time around. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the roundup. Of course, if you wanna see more of these episodes, it's always helpful if you support the podcast. If you want to see more great podcasts like this one, hopefully it's great. Sorry if I was a bit groggy. Of course, like I said at the beginning. Of course, if you want to support the podcast, you can always share the podcast everywhere on all social media. The podcast is available everywhere. MeTime Gamer, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube. And also, if you want to support even more the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/meettimegamer, where you can support money-wise. The tier, I only have one tier of $3 if you guys, just to support and just to give your chip in to try to support the podcast and all the content I produce over on YouTube and all the other social media, Of course, if you want to get in contact with me, you can do so at podcast@meettimegamer.com, or if you want to do sponsorship in the podcast, you can do so at contact@meettimegamer.com. Sorry, I'm just very tired. And what else? I think that's gonna be it. Is there anything else? Of course, if you want to listen, if you're watching the video, of course, if you are watching on the video format, you can listen to the podcast version. All the other episodes are on Stitcher, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Balado Quebec, and every other place that takes my RSS feed. And yeah, so thank you so much, guys, for watching or listening, and I will see you on the next episode. Keep on keeping on.